Eric Emerson radio program at 503-733-2970. Just a few moments, we'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles in just a moment. After that, we'll talk to Delana and Magni from Rockstar Supernova. We got this. This guy says, Rick, you need to read further in the blood drinking story. You're missing an important. I guess. Let's see. This is the guy who called the cops because he picked up some chick somewhere and that they had sex and then she tied him down and wanted to drink his blood, which is in and of itself not all that bad. But then we've got this.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
I bet if some chick did that to you, you'd probably freak out.
Now, well, this is the other thing. Is I got a guy emailing me saying that I can't because I said, apparently, I said that statement about that I tell you about that girl in the blood and then I didn't finish it. And I got a guy, you can't just tease. It's nothing that Rick Emerson has done. I thought I told this story. In fact, this is one of those stories that I thought I had told over and over, and therefore no one wanted to hear it. It was when I was living in Salt Lake, where there was a girl, and she was a listener, and she was a little crazy. But she's like, so do you want to get together and have, you know, do you want to get together and have some coffee sometime? And of course, we all know what that means.
Just sex.
Coffee. Sex is on. So I'm like, well, sure, I'd love to do that. And somebody, sure, I'd love to do that. And so we meet at some place or whatever. And she's this kind of goth-looking girl. And so, you know, it's all going well and we're talking and I'm being my usual charming self, you know, which is what I do because it's hard to turn off. And so we're talking and she's... I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I will say before the program, you were talking about somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but before we went on the air today, Sarah was talking about that. You were talking about some woman, and you made the passing observation that she's exactly your type, too. You love her. I don't even... Who was that? You were talking
I don't know.
Before the show. Do you remember that, though?
I do remember talking about that. I don't know.
It was like some celebrity chick or some... or maybe it was some Portland girl.
Oh, no. The girl that I met in L.A.,
oh, yeah, the girl that gets paid to kick guys in the crotch.
Uh-huh.
And then Sarah's like...
But she doesn't do it. She's kind of the madam, so she's in charge of all the...
And Sarah's observing, yeah, she corrals a bunch of women who get paid to kick guys in the nads. You'd love her, Rick. She's exactly your type.
She's a naughty little girl. You'd be a fan.
What does that mean, that she's exactly my type? I'm not going to let this get off the sidetrack us, but you have to tell me what that means.
I don't know. I can just... I've known you for long enough now that I can tell people who you're attracted to and people you are.
She's a naughty little girl.
I'll send you her picture.
Okay. Anyway, so this girl was a goth girl and very curvy, as they say, blah, 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 blah. And so we're there. We're at the place. We're hanging out. And she's like, so, do you want to go? Where should we go after this? And, of course, what am I trying? I'm trying to be all...
What's a movie?
I'm being all smooth lover man. I'm like, well, Amber, what did you have in mind? And then I swear to God, this is what she said. I swear to Christ, this is on everything I hold sacred, this is true. I said, so, blah, 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 what do you have in mind? She goes, well, I was thinking we could go back to my place and, I could get some wine. And I have this really beautiful silver ceremonial knife, and I was thinking that I could cut myself and you could lick my blood. I swear to Christ, that's what she said. And in my head, though, for just a moment, there's that whole fork in the road.
You're
like,
beautiful silver.
I know,
and then
just, and she's all hot and everything, and I'm just, and it's just, it was just seems so wrong, and just, it just seems so vile, and just kinky, and just horrific, that in it, but in a way, like that's what made it all hot for just a second. I'm like, that's so wrong, and just disgusting, and
so wrong.
Yes, so right, and then I was just like, look at the time, I have to go. I have a meeting early in the morning, baby. I'd love to. You call Rick Emerson again sometime, and I'll never talk to her again. Let me just read this one sentence though. So this is about the woman who was drinking the blood. This is the sentence that I missed earlier. The victim and Sutton were acquaintances. Sutton, the woman, is a transient who had been living in a shed behind an empty house near Apache Boulevard. She had been living in the tool shed for approximately 3 weeks, having sex with a homeless woman from a tool shed. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get Jim Roop in about 12 seconds. Let's go to the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Golden Gate looking for a man who stole a woman's purse after threatening her with a canister containing an unknown chemical. The woman was entering her car at Bridgeport Village, where civilized people shop. He demanded her purse and put in a canister on him if she didn't comply. The man's described as white, about 30 years old, and the woman is also white. It's another case of white-on-white crime. There's too much of it lately.
It's got to be stopped.
It's going on mostly in the suburbs. Remember Al Gore? Well, he was at the, well, this is something for Jim Roop, too, at the California Science Center in L.A. today, wherever that is.
It's something for who?
Jim Roop.
Who?
Yeah.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
Well, you couldn't have scripted that any better.
Dude, and right here, I've got circled Jim Roop, Gore, climate change.
Yeah, man. I was there.
All right. So, let's...
Hold in that place, too.
Let's test out our ability to work on a wacky television news program. Tim, why don't you practice the lead and then the throw to Jim Roop?
All right. Because Angelinos is such an educated bunch, many go to the California Science Center in Los Angeles, wherever that might be. Al Gore was there today to kick off his Save Ourselves campaign. Our own CNN correspondent Jim Roop was there and files this live report.
Well, Tim, it's called SOS, Save Our Planet, a Climate Change. And what they're going to do is have a series of concerts in a 24-hour period on 7-7-07, July 7th-07. And it's going to be from all eight continents, including Antarctica. It'll be a big event to raise awareness for the threat of climate change. Tim?
Okay, thank you, Jim.
What do you mean it's called SOS?
Jim and Tim, I love it.
Save Our Planet.
SOS is the international code for distress.
Save Our Planet is SOP.
Save Ourselves, I should say. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We have a climate crisis.
I got outgored, man.
That's okay. Now you see, you probably on the verge of getting us all some high-paid television gig, and now it's all gone to hell.
It's all my fault.
All right. Well, this is...
At least that's what my wife tells me.
Is this when in doubt, blame Jim? Is this another one of those like Live 8 type things?
In fact, I thought they were going to call it Kool-Aid. And I thought, what a great, you know, but they didn't. They're calling it Live Earth.
Okay, that's just stupid. Live Earth sounds like one of those sites like Gary Baumgarten left to go work at. You know what I mean? Where it's, you know, it's like they build
a restaurant.
Live Earth, like a fully interactive global span, and it's really just where old guys get together and have sex pretending they're 18-year-old cheerleaders.
There's a station in L.A. called K-Earth.
Yeah, that's it. Live Earth just sounds like something that I wouldn't possibly be interested in. And this is one, it's just like one of these multi-continent concert things that...
Yeah, it's 24 hours, and each continent will have a concert being performed live. At some point during that 24-hour period, there'll be three concerts going on simultaneously. So they have XM, Sirius, so terrestrial and satellite radio involved, TV involved. It's going to be broadcast live the entire 24 hours on MSN, on the Internet. So it's going to be a big event. They're hoping it will raise awareness to get more people on the stick, if you will.
It will not do that.
No.
It will not raise awareness.
It'll be like Live Aid. It'll be great. There'll be some great music. But the people who are going to watch these, Bon Jovi fans, Black Eyed Peas fans, they're not going to shell out money to save the planet. Sorry.
No one cares.
How about if it's muscular dystrophy?
Yeah. Has there ever been anything cured by one of these concerts or telethons ever?
No, the concerts raise money just so they can fund the organization that puts the concerts on. I don't get where the money goes. I don't know how many people they fed in Live Aid, but I didn't hear anybody saying thank you for the sandwich.
No. You should file a complaint with Africa. You should file a where's the thank you? Have you ever heard of etiquette? But that's all. You're right. That's all they do. They just raise enough money that they can shill for the next concert, which will solve nothing. And really, it just ends up being about some wrinkled member of Duran Duran that manages to hold it together long enough to go and sing.
And Duran is one of the 100 plus artists that are going to be performing at these things.
Is that true?
It's true.
Look at me being relatable without even trying.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't care about any of this. I really don't. I only care about this to the extent that it's a sort of backdoor way for Al Gore to explore running for the presidency in 2008.
I did notice he seems to have, when he talks, in his cadence, when he comes to the end of a phrase, he has a weird kind of tick.
Which is what?
Well, he just sort of... You know, flicks his head back slightly. I don't think anybody noticed it but me, because I said to the guy from ABC next to me, I said, did you see that? Do you think that's weird that he does that?
As what?
He's got this weird tick.
The best part is how you make the guy from ABC sound really smart. You make the guy from ABC sound really in tune with things. I don't know. Maybe he's got some sort of a...
Fox. The guy from Fox next to me.
Fox. The guy, you make him sound like he's got some kind of a palsy or something. So, well, all right. So, there you go. So, Al Gore's going to be doing a thing and whatever and blah, blah, blah. I don't really care. Here, the thing is my brain only has... My inbox in my brain only has room for one big story. And until we find out exactly who Anna Nicole Smith's baby daddy is, none of these other things matter.
Well, there's a whole lot more with that, you know. They don't even know who gets her bodies and where it's going to be buried.
Have you heard this soundbite of the judge saying her body's cold, we could go see it right now?
He said, that baby's on cold storage, man.
Let's listen one more time, shall we? All right, hold on.
I'm not releasing a body. This body belongs to me now. I'm not releasing the body. From what I read, this body's staying right here. We'll decide how we, what condition and what place we put the body. But the body belongs to me now. Cold, but it won't decompose so fast. That baby is on a cold, cold storage room. It's not decaying so fast. I can go over there now and look at it.
Let's all go. Let's all go today. So there you go, brother.
True.
All right, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will have speaks with you in the very near future, my friend.
Thank you, sir, very much.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, from the Jim and Tim Morning Show. Let's do one more with Tim Riley, and then Scotty, if you would like to get ready to bring Delana and Magni on.
And
here.
Storm.
And Storm. Is Storm here as well? I didn't know if she was dropping them off. It was some sort of like rock and roll, field trip kind of thing. I was unclear about whether, because I know she's got some other stuff she's doing. All right, okay. Tim, you want to do one more here?
A man convicted of making terrorist threats against Anna Nicole Smith has sent TMZ's managing editor, Harvey Levin, a letter from prison claiming he could be Daniel Lynn's dad. This fellow's name is Mark Hollywood Hatton. Claims he willfully gave a sperm sample to then-girlfriend Anna Nicole Smith, which he gave to a doctor for future use, and then writes, I allege I could be the father of Daniel Lynn by means of artificial insemination. He's currently serving a 7-year term at Pleasant Valley State Prison.
Pleasant Valley.
And he had a brief relationship with Smith in 2000. Cops believe Hatton himself stalked Smith. Soon after the relationship fizzled, Hatton, who tattooed himself with Smith's likeness, was also convicted of beating up Anna's neighbor.
He sounds like a prize.
So why does she have this full-on collection of samples?
Well, I'm just saying it seems like I missed my chance. It seems like at a certain point there was just a cue to have sex with Anna Nicole Smith, and if somebody told me, all I had to do was, be there. You know what I mean? You just, apparently just sort of easy to hang around long enough. You get moved to the front of the line. So there was an e-ticket that I was not aware of. All right. Well, there you go. And he's got what, her face where? Someplace? On a tattooed on him? Which makes, the fourth person I've seen on television last week that's got the face of Anna Nicole Smith tattooed somewhere in their body. Okay, all different shades of creepy. All right, we will have more from Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. Later on, we got Like Us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. All right, and Sarah, as far as guest mics go, we'll have to figure out where everybody's kind of standing here. And I apologize right now for the lack of chairs. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Rockstar Supernova. And I'll just go in no particular order here. Delana, Magni, and of course our good friend Storm Large entering the studio.
And Mr. Nipples.
And Mr. Davey Nipples as well. I didn't know if he was incognito or not. I never know when you're just sort of lurking and when you're actually here.
Well, funny, I was in San Diego last night, but I strapped on the diaper and drove straight here.
Well done.
Look at you.
Look at you with the callback, comedically
nice.
Speaking.
Nice.
All right.
Oh, baby.
So we devoted just untold hundreds of hours of our lives. I mean, I could have cured a major disease if I had taken all of the energy that I put into Rockstar Supernova and put it towards something, to help humanity. But instead, I'm just sitting in a bar going, come on! Screaming at a television,
we had no lives.
I have no life now, but... So Delana and Magni are here, so we want to say hello and welcome to you guys.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having us.
So, well, not at all. So, well, let me move my... and I apologize, by the way, for the lack of chairs.
That's good. I've been doing nothing for, 2 days? So.
Everyone thinks I'm sitting permanently all the time anyway, so no worries.
Well, we work in a building with a bunch of scabby thieves who come in and just... They steal
every time we leave, they're gone the next day.
All right. So the Rick Emerson Show, we have a long and tangled relationship with Rockstar Supernova and with the folks in this room, and probably the best example of that is Delana, who really got... viewed as, I mean, I'll just say, you really got viewed as a villain by a lot of the people in the audience who watched the show and like, I don't care for that Delana. I don't care for the way she looks. I don't care for the way she acts. I don't really care for her much at all. And just,
Rick.
No, I want to be honest about
that. Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
Just be honest now.
He's setting the stage.
I said, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to be some other jackhole DJ that is just like, I've loved you since the very beginning. I knew you were going to go to the final two. It was the show got edited or at least aired in a way that as time went on, it really seemed like they were trying to paint certain people in certain ways.
Of course, yeah.
And so the question is, I don't even know, and Delana, have you watched the show? Because I know Storm said she hadn't even watched it since she was on it.
We haven't either. Yeah, I watched a little pieces off the internet, but that's about it. I have all the DVDs at home, a stack of them, and I haven't once. I'm saving it for a day when I feel like being really depressed.
Well, if you like, we can try and accelerate that process right now. So, I mean, just based on your understanding of how the show went and how it was edited, do you feel, and I'll ask you to the other guys the same question, do you feel like you got a fair shake? Do you feel like as you went on, the show was pushing you to be one way or the other, to be the bad guy?
Absolutely, but looking back at it, I think it was the best thing they could have done for me because it really showed the viewers out there that I'm just a human being and we all screw up and make mistakes, and I got an opportunity through them trying to make me look bad to prove that I wasn't going to let them break me.
Do you think that there was anything that you did that was just flat out shown, how do I put this, it's flat out misrepresented? You know, because there's the sequence where you kind of, you know, had like a little mini breakdown, and there was, you know, there was a glass that got broken or something like that. And, was there any moment where you're just like, this is just being completely twisted? Think about
it. Well, yeah, the thing is, they only took little pieces of the drama sessions.
Yeah, they filmed us for long, long periods of time, and what you guys saw was just a sliver of hours and hours.
So have you seen them, though?
No, I haven't, actually. I like Delana, I've seen little bits and pieces here and there on the internet, things that get sent to me, but I'm not really...
I think the part that really peed me off the most as far as them editing it was with the press clinic.
Mm-hmm.
When I said things like, Magni doesn't want to be here and he wants to be at home with his family, they only took like that part, like Magni doesn't want to be here.
Right.
Instead of the whole thing that I said, like, you know, he's really close to home, his family, and he wants to be home. He's from Iceland, and that's his place. You know, they just took the part, Magni doesn't want to be here.
It's like when there's a film review.
And then, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's like when there's a movie review where, like, it's amazing how badly this movie sucks. And then you just see, like, it's amazing. You know,
it
sucks.
Yeah, totally.
Which is even worse.
Well, is that, Magni, is that true? At a certain point where you just like, screw this, like, I gotta be back home?
No, not really. Well, maybe like once for 5 minutes, but that's about it.
We all did that.
Yeah, we all. The funny thing is that they showed Delana cracking up. Everybody did. I'm kidding.
It's Icelandic for glass.
Kidding. I gotta believe that. Yeah.
What did I say? Yeah, you just used the S word there.
The brown word.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm from Iceland.
And first of all...
Is that your excuse?
That's my excuse for everything. Everything just breaks off.
And other than that, I didn't throw it at you.
That's what I said. She didn't throw anything
right now,
at me.
Before I broke your hand.
Before I throw this at your head.
Did that leave a scar? Did you get a scar?
No, my God.
I don't know. Look, I get that. This is the thing.
That's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. It was a lot of blood, but I've cut myself worse shaving. Like, it's literally nothing.
And I bring
on the day after.
I bring this up because, and again, the people who in the audience, and by the way, I'll give you the number out here. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with Delana, Magni, and Storm Large, and Davey Neeples in the house as well. So it's 503-733-2970. Your comments, your questions, your queries, your what have you. All I say, and people who watch the show kind of with us, they know that there were no small events on that show. It doesn't matter what it was in real life, everything on that show was a major event. It was a major victory, it was a major breakdown, it was a major triumph, it was a major argument. And so you say, well, the glass got broken, you got a little cut, it may seem, made, you know, yeah, seem like a nick. Exactly. When we're watching it on TV, we're like, Delana just tried to kill Magni.
Exactly. And they even showed Luther's running into the ballroom going, oh my God, I think Magni's dead.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. We're, you know, and of course, we're all there in a bar. Everybody's half in the bag to begin with. And they're like, well, she's evil.
You know? So yeah, that's what ticked me off, because I watched a little bit of the shows, like the reality, ridiculous, a lot of words I can't say.
You just want to swear again.
Yeah.
You Icelanders.
I just swear all day. But, yeah, like I said, Delano was the only one they put on TV cracking up. We all did it.
Mm-hmm. And
so...
Well, I went to the producers... Sorry for interrupting. I went to the producers after the third week of... the Stone Age of Delana, and yeah. I was just so sick of it, and I called them into a room and I said, okay, so you've had your fun with me and you've achieved whatever the hell you want to. When is this going to end? Because I really, you know, you're not going to break me, so you might as well give it up and just tell me why. And I'm not going to mention names, but leaned back and said, it's very simple. You're just the most interesting person in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we needed someone to target to, you know, get the ratings up and better, and you were the one.
And were you, wow. Were you cool with that just because it was a way to sort of rise above and get noticed?
Not at the time. Looking back now, I realize it was probably a good thing, and they thought they were going to crack me, but they actually helped me along.
Do you think that that's what they were hoping for, that they were hoping to crack you so that they could film that too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I know for a fact... there's a big person out there behind this whole thing who cannot stand my guts, and the feeling's very mutual. I know for a fact that he was trying to get me off the show completely. He thought that this was going to make the voters and the viewers, week like 3 weeks in a row, get me in the bottom three, and that would be a good enough reason for me to get kicked
off.
That's just me.
I'm assuming we're talking about, let's see... Mondo Bravo, is that the initial?
That's the one.
Yeah. But well, I don't know. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Right? All right. Delana and I are high-fiving. Somebody should have taken a picture of that.
You know,
so.
I think it's enough.
It has really... Delana's really right, though. It really gained her a huge... huge fan following. She already had a really rabid fan following. Oh, now she got the sinking chair.
Oh.
You weren't going to get her the sinking chair.
I'm sorry about that.
Heavens to Beth.
Oh, Stan, can you notice the difference?
Yeah. Well, we're going to edit this so you just look really short. Let's see here. Let's get a couple phone calls here. It's 503-733-3970. We're here with Magni, Delana, Storm Large, Davey Nipples. And the Rockstar Supernova show happens tomorrow at Memorial Coliseum. You can go to rosequarter.com to find out more. And, of course, Storm in the Ball tomorrow at Dante's, 11 o'clock. And that's stormlarge.com or west.com. Patrick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Patrick?
Not much. I was going to see Delana.
Yes. Hey, Patrick.
How you doing?
Cool, man. How are you?
Good. I was just seeing, in one of the songs that you did, I think you said your mom sang it to you, and at the end of the song, you were singing your name in the lyrics. I mean, was that something that your mother did, or?
Actually, yeah, the story a little twisted. My mom never sang that song to me. I grew up...
Okay.
I just grew
sorry
up...
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I grew up... knowing that my mom loved that song and it was her favorite song. But actually the house band started singing my name as a joke in rehearsal and told me that they were going to do it on stage, and I was like, no, you guys cannot do that, and they did it anyway, so I joined in.
Oh,
and it was just
okay.
A big
what was,
kind
I,
of joke.
I can't remember, what was the song?
It was Every Breath You Take.
Every Breath You Take, yeah, and at the end. And you,
yeah.
Boy, and I got to tell you, see, even now, I mean, that was either the greatest idea or the worst idea ever, because the next everybody's like, she's singing her own name. Oh, who does she sing
to? Yeah.
But, of course, you were who everybody talked about. That was what got talked about, was you.
Right.
So, you know.
Controversy is a good
you know, if you didn't plan it, so let him know that. So let him think it was all a master plan.
Right, I had no idea.
Let him think you're an evil genius. All right, thank you. That's Patrick. And so, Magni, do you feel the same way? Do you feel like you were edited on Rockstar Supernova to be shown to be kind of way?
I felt like a rape victim after they brought my family on there, because it's not like they asked me or my family if they wanted to come over there and all that
stuff.
Really? You know, it's a question of ratings and, you know. I'm not really a nice guy.
All right, hold on just a second. Scotty, if you can hear me, I know that we've got another pair of guest headphones lurking around here somewhere. So, Scotty, if you can track down a pair of headphones,
please.
That'd be fantastic. I know that Magby's not able to hear phone calls. If you can do that, that would be fantastic.
I'm Yeah. Did the word telepathetic, like I can hear everything?
Telepathic.
Telepathic. Telepathetic.
Telepathetic.
That's a really, that's a really bad telepathic.
Telepathetic.
Like a bad telepathic.
Yeah.
Telepathetic.
Did you not know your family was coming over? Did they spring that on you?
Well, they told me that on the show. Like,
right.
We're flying your family over, dude. And then they called my family. Do you want to travel for 18 hours
right.
to L.A.?
Right.
With an infant?
Newborn baby.
We were joking about how funny it would have been if it said no.
Yeah,
too much of a hassle.
For that, I don't think so.
Like,
so
like next week would have been, okay, so your family had come in, but still, it was a good TV thing.
Did you feel like stuff like that made the difference in whether you stayed on the show or not? Did you feel like you had to cooperate with stuff like that or they were going to bounce you off?
No, not really. I literally never thought about anything that came to, like, sticking around and all that. I was literally just there having fun.
Now, is that because, now...
I thought I'd be there for 1 week.
And maybe this is another thing that's sort of been inflated beyond what it is, but, I mean, people say, well, you know, that guy's huge in Iceland. Now, are you huge in Iceland, or are you... I mean, where would you put your celebrity in Iceland?
I'm huge in Iceland, but Iceland's tiny, so...
What's that?
I'm huge in Iceland, but Iceland's tiny, so...
So, but did that make you kind of not care about what happened on Rock Star Super? No, but you're
literally
didn't
care.
Because you already had some, you know, you already had some.
Yeah, I was there, like, seeing what I could do, and I literally was there to jam with Jason Newsted because he was my hero, and not to be on bleep, whatever, but as soon as I heard the music, like, where the band was going,
yeah,
not in a bad way, I just went, okay, that's not for me. So,
right.
So I'm just going to stick around and have fun with my friends, and...
It does. The album that came out, it has this...
Excellent. I don't know.
It's weird, man. It's got this bizarre, like, Stone Temple Pilots kind of... Like, it's loud, but it's not metal, and it's alternative, but it's not, and it's got this weird...
Well, STP is Tommy's favorite band, and Lucas's, I think, as well. So.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. That Headspin song that Lucas sings, I like a lot. It's a beautiful song.
Great song. Right.
And these guys know that I'm a sucker for anything that says, hey, hey, and yeah, yeah, and whoa, whoa. So that other single is, you know, I'm a big fan of that. And then Storm.
Yeah, hey, ho, ho, we like that.
See, that's the way to get me to like anything.
Yeah.
That and like a hand clap and I'm sold.
No, we came to the conclusion that Lucas was right for that band and it's music, so I didn't, you don't want to win something if you don't fit into it.
Right.
So.
Right.
We're talking to Magni and Delana and Storm Large from Rockstar Supernova. And so if Delana was being edited as the villain and then Magni is being edited as, you know, did you feel like they were, like, what role did you feel like they'd cast you in?
I don't know because I didn't really watch the show. I don't think I was dirty enough or, I don't know, I wasn't really like a huge presence. I don't think, because there wasn't a lot of conflict with me in the show.
Now, was that a conscious decision? Like, I'm not giving you anything to work with? Is that what you like, your attitude?
I don't know. I mean, well, I'm old, so nothing really ruffled my mind. So, I mean, like, they threw stuff at me when people were giving me really harsh criticisms. I'm kind of like, sorry, man, I'll try to do better next week. Whatever, what do you know? I don't care.
Right. We didn't get that much airtime.
No, we were kind of, you know, I had...
Just Delana and Lucas, the rest of us were just hanging out.
Do you feel like they, from the very beginning, they were thinking that, though? Like, from the beginning, did they think Delana Lucas...
I think
probably.
They did, but I think as when it comes to me and Lucas especially, they had pre-planned the whole thing. The script was written out because for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I was very much the good girl in the background. You never hardly...
That's not true.
All you saw was
you were crazy
thing.
Girl of the first episode.
No, just on stage. That was my performance. I was not a crazy
girl. Well, but I'm saying the way it was shown on TV when you did the... I mean, it's not a knock. I'm saying when it was the Nirvana song.
No, that's actually...
Oh, wait a minute.
Steve,
that face-off the first night. Remember?
Bottom three. Who's it going to be? Dun, dun, dun. They didn't put in any of the stuff that I really said.
Oh, really?
They didn't put in the headbutt.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Okay, no fair. We're being left out.
Never mind. Now, they were the
headbutt. Come on, pull a brother in.
Still on a headbutt of Lucas.
Yeah, I did.
You headbutted him?
First night. Hi, my name's Lucas.
He was giving me way too much lip and throwing questions out about who's in the bottom three in front of everybody. Come on, Delana, who's the bottom three? And I said...
I remember that. Right.
Right. Well, my answer, they didn't show all of it. They should have shown, you know, the real me, because I'm always just outspoken and say what I feel, and they didn't. And that is what I'm getting to as far as They edited out the real me stuff until it was time for something big.
Right. Well,
and
he was. I remember that first time. He was kind of drunk too, wasn't he?
Well, kind of.
You know what? He felt really badly about that. I think he kind of ate some crow after that because we were all like, "Wow, you're a D-bag.
You're a douche."
Well, yeah.
He started off being an idiot and then, like,
but
fixed
it. You know, he did fix it. And then we ended up loving him. And he's, you know, I still really care about Lucas a lot. And I felt, you know, he kind of took a wrong step in the beginning. And then he made up for it and was really a lot of fun to hang out with.
Well, what people also don't know, as far as the editing, they portrayed Lucas and I to be these huge rivals and couldn't stand each other.
Right.
Well, that's not true. We had our moments, yes. Because we're both very hot-headed, but we got on great. I mean, there's some stuff I can't tell you right now, but we got on really well. And actually, the night after I headbutted him, everyone went to bed, and he and I were the only two still awake, and we sat for hours talking and crying together and sharing things from our past and our mothers and, you know, our lives. We actually bonded and connected that very first night.
Well, and not to be overdramatic about it, but it's like, you know, it's not like you're going to war together or something, but it's a real stressful thing, and there's only a handful of people that can identify with it.
Yeah, they were always trying to ask us questions like, what are you going to do in the competition? It wasn't a competition.
Yeah,
how am I supposed to compete with Storm?
It was like us against them, kind of, really.
Yeah, we
like,
were all this
against the producers.
Yeah, well, it was a platoon.
Not just the producers, but just kind of the circumstances. We were, you know, little ants in a very pretty ant farm. And so we all understood each other where we were at. And when one of us would crack, there would be someone, you know, there's a picture on the website of Delana with her arms around me and bringing me into the house. And it looks like a really friendly moment. But what it was I had heat stroke and I was hallucinating. It was when it was like 106 degrees for like 9 days.
Oh my God.
We were doing song selection. I said, I think I'm going to throw up and black out. And I'm asking the smallest person to help me.
I tried to pick her up.
Like a 50-foot woman. Hold me up.
But she, seriously, and she's like, I'm the Godzilla, and she's Tokyo. And I'm like, but she helped me into my room. And
I got to say, and at the risk of sounding corny and whatever, I got to say, speaking of helping each other, I got to point out that Davey is actually sitting on Storm's lap right now. Is that is working out?
No, so cute.
I know. And I know everybody says this, and so you're like the millionth guy, but you guys are like the coolest, greatest couple ever. I mean, you have to get a picture of that right there, and it's the caption to put it next to like true love in the encyclopedia. So I paid her a lot of money.
And there's
Scotty at the door with the camera. Fantastic.
You have to get a photo.
Seriously.
Can you figure out how it works? Can you show my bruises? Should I show my bruises?
Are they sexy? Are they sexy bruises?
You're special. Oh, are they special?
Hit me now, Maggie, quick.
Fantastic. And so, I mean, and Davey, from your perspective, because you've got a different perspective than Storm or Magni and Delana, because you're there watching, and so you have a hybrid perspective where you're not like me and Sarah, we're just in the audience.
It was weird being on the outside and kind of getting fed. I mean, I could only be fed so much because those calls were monitored. Right. You know, but as time went on, things got a little looser, and I made a few friends here and there.
Did you? Would you say that for the duration of Rockstar Supernova, were you angry more or happy more? Or, I mean, was it more good or bad?
It was just a whole weird thing, because, I mean, I saw the whole thing develop where, you know, I could kind of relate on a level, because there is this group of people, you're put into a situation, and you're forced to deal with surroundings that are forced upon you, and you do, and I mean, I know where that camaraderie thing comes from, just from being on tour and being away from everything. You develop that, and it was, you know, but yet the producers were trying to make it this competition thing, but it was interesting to watch it unfold on TV as presented to the little people, and then also knowing kind of what's really going on the inside. But also, on top of that whole dichotomy, was being completely separated from someone that you love and being told when you can and cannot talk to them and what you can and cannot say. I mean, they used to confiscate, like, portions of my letters and stuff, because I would write...
Like, she's in prison, just blacking out.
I would send her psychological information, like...
prison with catering in a pool.
Not that good catering. Like, I sent a thing on Stockholm Syndrome, and they edited it out. They never let her have it.
Were you ever tempted just to, like, don the full gorilla outfit and just go break her out in the middle of the night? Like, I'm here for you! We're going! breaking her out of the Jehovah's Witnesses?
It's all said and done now, but I did get into the mansion underneath...
the radar.
Oh, I remember that.
Somewhere I got out of the crashy twice.
all right. Well, can you? Do you guys have to take off? Can you stick around?
We have rehearsal, but these guys can take it. You guys can take a cab back if you want.
Yeah. What,
no
what time is it?
It is 2:30.
Yeah, we can wait a while.
All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. And, you know, whatnot. I'm going to get in the way of your whatnot. But we got a bunch of calls and
awesome.
And I got and we want to hear about Davey sneaking into the mansion.
Okay.
If you can tell us.
Oh yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
Not all about it.
Excellent. Is there bruising there too?
There's probably an internet security video of Davey. And I.
There's a ghost involved.
She got a huge picture from me about the bruising.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Ilana was very upset.
I spoke to Davey the night I met him. I was like, come here, I got chewed out.
Back after this, we're here. We're here with Delana Magni, Stormlarge, Davey Nipples, and Sitter. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Yeah, Scotty, please.
Scotty,
please come to the studio. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's also rickemerson.com if you'd like to email us. We're here with
it's your birthday ever.
We're here with Magni, Delana, Stormlarge, Davey Nipples, etc. The Storm of the Balls, Friday night, 11 o'clock, Dante's. Go to stormlarge.com or ticketswest.com. And, of course, Rockstar Supernova happens tomorrow at the Memorial Coliseum. Go to rosequarter.com for information on that. Okay, so let's see. I'm trying to figure out how to maximize the time we got left here. So we'll do a couple calls. Davey should tell the story about how he got into the mansion, and then I know, Delana and Magni, you guys have a song mm-hmm. that you are going to perform. So let's do this. Let's get Chris here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
I just wanted to say, you know, hey, Magni, I loved your original.
Thank you.
And, Delana, your version of Mother Mother was better than the original. So.
Oh, thank you.
Your Roxanne was really good, too. Your Roxanne was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
And Storm told us about the mansion and how it's haunted, so the mm-hmm. house.
Really haunted.
And I wanted to know what your take on that was. Whether you guys saw...
Are you talking to me, Delana?
Either, both of you. I know she said that it affected women more.
Yeah, Storm told us the whole story when it happened, said that the females felt a kind of presence.
I don't think a boy ever felt anything like that, but apparently one of them attacked me. Or was pissed
actually,
off at
Magni
me.
And I were together once when we had an experience in the mansion in my bedroom, and it's not what it sounds like, but...
yes, it is.
We were just laying there.
Reading the Bible.
Yeah, we were reading the Bible.
Tearing out pages of the Bible.
In the morning.
No, seriously, and this figure appeared. It was an older lady. She had a very tattered, old looking gray bun. Her hair was up in a bun.
Ugly old bat.
And she was wearing like a cream, dirty white dress, and she basically was just leaning. She had her hands behind her back and was leaning over the bed, staring at Magni.
That's creepy.
I just screamed and jumped off the bed, mm-hmm. and Magni was, what? And I'm like, can't you see it? Can't you see it? And he couldn't see it, but I saw it very, very clearly.
Of course, they have that effect on women sometimes. They jump out of bed screaming.
That
wasn't the case that time.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. There you go. All right. Somebody emailed me a question. They said, and this is sort of, I think, apart from the success of the actual Rockstar Supernova band, they said, do you think that Lucas himself, is that a guy who's kind of in music for the long haul? Do you think that, not necessarily the band, but does he have...
Definitely.
Absolutely. He's a very, very talented guy.
He's been doing this forever, and he will do it forever.
And music is in his blood.
Yeah.
He loves music. I can't wait to hear him in the future doing his own
by himself,
thing.
Yeah.
Because he's great.
Davey, if you want to tell the story, actually, whatever, however much you can tell it, I know that there was this incident, and I don't know what we're past the statute of limitations on it, or we're not.
Yeah, that's what we can't talk about.
I might have to kind of edit it. On
well, you
the
snuck
floor.
Into the mansion to see Storm.
Anyway, I ended up getting a hold of some people and kind of approached it. I used my real name and everything, but just approached it from a different angle, not as someone who knew someone on the show, but as someone who is in another big band that rhymes with Never Here.
Oh, no, he's always here, dude. Always.
But anyway, I used my real name and just said, hey, I used to play in this band, and I hear there's some parties going on. And
with a guy whose name rhymes with Streptococcus.
Yeah. And so my list, or my name, got on a list that was legal and clear, and nobody did any cross-referencing, and so I went down and hung out with some friends and walked in the front door of the place, got a wristband, and just kind of waltzed into the house, and it was no big deal.
And so did you have like a false mustache and like a
bowler?
Nope,
I went in just like myself, and I managed to warn Storm ahead of time. I said, look, if I come walking into the living room,
my name is
house,
Goldberg.
don't freak out, you know. And so I walked around. I was really nervous, you know.
You were freaking out before you left.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like a big deal. It's like because I passed on going to a taping and seeing her for a few minutes, banking that I was going to get into the house because I didn't want anyone to recognize me.
Right.
So I had to, like, oh, I'm sick. I can't make it to the taping, and canceled that. And then I walked around the corner of this hallway, and there she was standing there talking to a couple of people. We just kind of looked at each other and smiled. And
oh, that's fantastic.
I let her finish her conversation, and then I kind of waltzed over, and I was like, hey, what's your name?
I'm a big fan.
I'm Storm. What's your name?
Wait, that was the time when you guys were walking together at the party for like an hour, and eventually the rest of us in the house were going like,
no, that
why
was,
are you
that
still
was,
here?
That was the second time.
Who are
that
you?
That was the second time.
Yeah, Lucas was trying to hide me under the dining table. He was like, come on, man, there's no cameras in here. You can hide under the table.
Trying to keep him there all night.
Come but on, they
dude.
Caught me in there.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it was funny. He was like, what's your name? Oh, I'm Storm. Oh, yeah, I'm Davey. And I go, hey, you wanna see my bathroom?
So that's where the haunted part comes in.
Yeah.
So Storm and I were in the bathroom.
Reading the Bible.
Good
Bible.
Pages. And there was a lamp that I borrowed from Patrice and had like 9 bulbs in it, but it was painfully bright. It was like a candelabra. So I unscrewed like 8 of the bulbs, so there was just one little light on.
You incurable romantic?
Yeah.
In a bathroom?
Yeah, on the floor.
Hey, man, you gotta work with the tools that you have, you know.
Oh, I know that.
Pinch hit situation there.
Oh, yeah.
So I set it up on this big, heavy dresser, and then as we were reading the Bible, lights would like start flashing and stuff, but whenever we would stop reading the Bible,
the lights flash for you too, baby.
The lights would stay off.
That means
as soon as we started reading the Bible again, the lights would start flickering. So I was like, "This is creepy." So I stood up, and you know, I'm an electrician by day. I know how electricity works. So I unscrewed the bulbs all the way out.
Right.
Took the thing. They were not coming on. There was no contact. So then I open up the book and we start reading some more Bible. So I'm in between pages. My face is way in between the pages of this Bible.
Good God, baby.
Your bookmark.
And the lights are flashing, but it's like lightning because different bulbs, so the shadows are moving all around, and it's only when I have my face buried in the pages.
Okay,
all
right.
Okay, you got it.
Seriously.
But as soon as I was done reading, then the lights, it all
Wait, hold
stayed
on.
Off.
Let me mark my spot.
It was really weird.
All right.
Yeah, as soon as I flipped the bookmark in and everything was done, then the light stayed off. And I got up and shook the lamp, and the lights.
I don't even know when you're talking, and I'm confident now, and when you're not.
Shake the lamp.
You want to go read my Longfellow?
The lamp is real, and the Bible is not.
Moving forward, let's take one final call, and then we'll hear some music from Delana and Magni. This is our good friend Kristen from accounting. For the love of sweet God, help save me.
Hi. Hi. You know, it's so good to hear you guys all together. And I love it. It's just fantastic. But I do have to tell you that in all seriousness, watching Supernova with all you guys there and, you know, having Rick call me and ask me to save a seat for Mezzantes and, you know, all of that stuff we went through, I came together with some awesome people and I made some great friends during that whole time. And it was because of you guys. You brought some people together and we brought the rock. And it was just, it was cool.
It was a great
huge viewing party every week.
Well, and it was funny because we started with next to nobody before anybody had really caught on that it was actually our storm. And, you know, so Stephanie from Cleveland and I would be down at Dante, sitting at a table by ourselves. And by the end of it, it was just
packed.
And we'd start drinking earlier.
No, it was a good time. And obviously not on the same level that it was for you guys at the house, but for all of them. I mean, it was as corny as that sounds. It was an experience. It was a real cool, weird period of time and a thing that we all kind of went through. That as cheesy as somebody may think that sounds, it was real powerful. It was great.
And I just wish I think we do have it on tape somewhere because a couple of stations came down to film it. But just that crowd surge of everybody cheering for Storm when she did the stage dive, and it was just an awesome time. And one of those one in a lifetime things.
Very cool.
So we are grateful to all of you for taking the trip.
You're welcome, baby. Are we going to see you on Friday?
I'll see you tomorrow, girly girl.
That's right, mama. You're going to be all drunk and taking your shirt off, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. All right. Thank you. There you go, Kristen from accounting. All right. The Lana Magna you guys have, is this an original? Is this, what song are we going to hear?
Well, this is just a little preview of my next single that's going to be released on the 20th on MySpace and iTunes. It's normally a rock song, but because we're doing it acoustic, we kind of blues it a little. And I'm just going to do a couple of verses and choruses.
All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lana and Magna.
It's called Holiday, by the way. Some messed up freebie shoes. I walk for miles and miles to get through all this pain, but I'm okay, I'm okay. Here I go. Oh, life has changed like a holiday. Feels so damn good like Hollywood. I'm gonna shove this life in your face. Gonna give you a taste, yeah, I am. Let's get it on. Got the wheels, hit the ground. This rocky road ain't gonna slow our joy ride down, down, down. Miles and miles naked in the rain, and I'm okay, I'm okay. Here I go. Oh, life has changed like a holiday. Feels so damn good like Hollywood. I'm gonna shove this life in your face. Gonna give you a taste, yeah, 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 yeah. And here's the solo. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. I'm gonna turn your world around. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. I'm gonna turn you upside down. Ba-dum, dum, da-dum.
That's just part of it.
All right.
And
a crowd.
Good
crowd.
Lana
and Magna.
That was awesome.
And so you have, that's on your MySpace account, or is that people can hear that, or iTunes? What is the best way? If people want to know all things Delana, what's the best place to go?
Go to myspace.com/DelanaRocks with an X.
All right, and we'll kind of go around the same thing for everybody, because everybody's got their own sort of individual fan base and so forth. Magni, you got the site, MySpace, something?
Yeah, I got myspace.com, Magni Rocks with a CK.
CKS.
CKS.
And, of course, stormlarge.com.
Stormlarge.com, and we're on MySpace /stormandtheballs.
And I, by the way, and just, I gotta tell you that, for the longest, you guys sing that song beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, I didn't know that was an original. I guess I thought it was, I just thought it was,
yeah, yeah, and that's gonna be the next, gonna be the next single. Where I recorded that in LA with, the Fabulous House Band.
It's such a great song. I mean, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
So, Rockstar Supernova tomorrow night, Memorial Coliseum. Rosequarter.com is the website for that. And tomorrow night, Dante's around 11 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
Cleveland and
Mike D.
Stormlarge.com or ticketswest.com for information on that. And so I wish we didn't get the photo of Dylan and I doing the high five, but I gotta say, it was you guys.
Someday.
Thank you guys for coming on, and it sound great, and
you're
great in person. So thanks, and I think from Austin Freddie out there. So thank you guys for giving us, a great show that we all kind of bonded over. So thank you guys for coming on.
We bonded over too.
Take a break. Come back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere, kids. We return momentarily. It's the Rick Emerson Program. Of the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, I don't know what I can do to surpass that performance of those talented youngsters that we had here
playing their rock and roll
stage. Well, Nancy Pelosi says the president doesn't have the authority to invade Iran without specific approval from Congress. Well, let's see if she can stop it. Police blocked I-5 southbound near Salem this afternoon after a two-vehicle crash. It happened when one vehicle crossed over the lanes near the Martin Street exit. Apparently, two people are hurt, and nobody knows their condition. And that is it for this afternoon. There's nothing else of any great importance going on. There's
nothing else that matters anywhere.
No.
So,
excellent. Except some actress named Carrie Russell get married in New York, but who the heck is she?
Awful.
Felicity, really?
Yeah.
What has she done since then?
Nothing.
Anything?
Nothing.
I think she was, she was in that horrible Tom Cruise movie that came out, Mission Impossible, or whatever that one was.
Mission Impossible 3, really?
Right in the middle of his crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we should give it up here for how cool everybody was, and by everybody, I mean Delana.
Okay, yeah. if you guys, that wasn't a put on, I have to say, just talked her off the air, she was very, very cool.
And she was really
a nice lady.
She was very cool, and like I said, she and I did a little high five there, it was like, it's so nice. Now I can never make fun of her again. It's like everybody that the show ever has an adversarial relationship with. There's this thing where as soon as we meet somebody in person, we can never be mean to them again. I don't know what it is. It's like we're physically incapable.
It's all about love.
That's like, it's a thing where now we're physically incapable of it. And Storm had told us repeatedly how she and Delana were really, great pals, off screen, and they hung out together. And it's not that I didn't think it was true, but Storm just, as aggressive as Storm can be, Storm is always saying the nicest about people. She always wants you to think the best of people. And I thought, well, maybe she's playing that up. Maybe she's really just trying to, be a good friend or whatever. But I got to tell you, you watch Storm and Delana off the air, and they were totally like sisters. They were totally, and that sounds corny, but it's totally true. They were totally, finishing each other's sentences and whatever. So, anyway. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman ever. So anyway, so that ended up being pretty great.
Was, except for that one, she shot you a death look. I wish that there was a camera going because...
When I said she was crazy in the first episode?
Yeah, and I mean, her face turned completely stone. She just looked at you. Yes.
She was kind of giving me that look when she first came in, too. I wonder if...
Well, I mean, you were totally provoking. You were like, well, remember how everyone hated you and nobody liked anything about you?
I had to be honest, though. That's the thing, because it's like, first of all, I would just feel like a tool if I just didn't acknowledge that. If I was just some sort of a no, we always thought you were fantastic. And because that would just be stupid. And the audience would think we were pussies and whatever. And I mean, I'm sure there's any number of people who are just upset that we didn't play the Delana crying sound. She would have decked me, though. I can tell you now, she would have punched me in the face. She would have knocked out my teeth if I'd done that. But she came in and she was, she wasn't giving me the death look.
Very pretty.
Pretty, but when she came and sat next to me, she was a little cold when she sat down next to me. And I don't know whether that's me or whether it is all interviews or whether she takes a while to warm up. When she first sat down, I sensed a little that she was kind of a little reticent.
Well, probably when you play the villain on a TV show, you know, you're kind of hesitant to see what the first thing is going to be out of someone's mouth.
And then that's why I felt I had to address the thing of like, well, look, you know, we took sides and, you know, like everybody, and we love Storm. We've known her for a long time. And, you know, and she, as she knows, she obviously knows she was sort of edited to be the villain. And so that's why I felt like I had to address it. And I remember watching that first episode where she did the Nirvana song. Is that Lithium? Is that what that song is? It's the I like it, I'm not going to crack, you know, I'm so horny, blah, 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 whatever the hell that is. But I remember that was the first time any of us had seen her. And she does that long, penetrating stare at the camera. And then she, like, goes, you know, and then she does the flailing around. I remember we were all sitting there going, she's insane. She's nuts. And because that's clearly, you know, that was her act. That's what she was doing.
I remember that even when she did that, I really liked her the first few weeks. I think she was right when she was saying she was kind of... Yeah, she was under the radar, at least for the first few weeks, except for, like, you know, the crazy hair color and piercings and whatnot.
So that's, yeah, so I felt like I had to mention it, but you're right. When I said that, when I'm like, no, 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 you were crazy from the beginning. Like, she totally gave me that look like, I will pull out your spleen, which was great.
Now, and she's a tiny girl, and I feel like she could do that to you.
She could, but she was very cool. They were all, and that, you know, and Magni, I got, you know, that guy kind of gets lost
Magni,
in the shuffle
taller,
a little bit.
Thinner.
Taller, thinner, a good-looking guy, good player. Does, you know, so it's, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle, I think, because he's not painted as in such a primary color.
He seems pretty comfortable, like, just being, you know, being a backup man.
I think that's got to be it. And the fact that he is already really famous, and he can say everything he wants about Iceland being a small country, but you know, being a superstar is being a superstar, even if it's in a country that you think is small or whatever. So it's like Storm. You know, Storm is already such a rock star in so many ways. It is like you've just got that confidence. That's, I think Magni's fine being in the background a little bit sometimes. So
the opening band... Is Delana singing with... I'm confused. I wanted to ask, but I don't know if it was weird. Is it her singing with the house band?
I think it's... No, the house band is not there, I don't think. I think it's that...
Her with Toby.
It's
band.
Toby and Juke Cartel, which sounds unfortunately like Jew Cartel a lot on the air. Juke Cartel, and then... And then Delana, I think, is doing some songs with them. So it's like Toby...
She's gonna kill ya.
She's giving me the finger, and now she's licking the glass. Thank you. Okay.
I think she wants to kill me. I love her.
I think it's Toby and Juke Cartel, and then Delana's going to be joining them for some songs. And then Panic Channel or whatever.
She's behind you.
I know. I'm not even going to look. I'm not even
going to
look.
Oh, they're going into KUFO. Oh, it's all right, KUFO. You can have our guests.
That's okay. We know where they came first. All right, let's quickly, Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, man, never have the words best show ever applied more.
Yeah, the only thing that could have made it better, though, yes, if you could have seen, it wasn't just Alana kind of giving me the eye and whatever. It was like, and I know that I say this a lot, and but you know what? Davey and Storm are really the cutest couple that have ever existed.
I wish you guys webcast, man. I was just picturing it all in my mind how much fun you guys were having. I'm so jealous.
Especially, and let's just
it's
say
pretty
this.
It's like a round table in here, too, so it's just looking around the sea of little rock.
And what great questions, and thank you for not bringing it up with Delana. You know, she's probably already heard, but you know what? Bygones be bygones. We still love y'all.
She was cool, and that's the thing. She was cool, and, you know, she was, you know, whatever. And TV's TV, and, you know, I know that they edit whatever, and, you know, when we pick sides, I would never deny that, because that's what you do with your friends, you know, and that's your job, is to support your friends.
And getting them all in there together.
Well, and how cool is it, and I got to say this, how lucky are we that this studio got completed and that we're in here now?
Thank God, they would have never been able to fit into the old studio.
We never would have been able to do a show like today
in the
old studio.
And you guys are such buds with Storm, too.
Yeah, well, that's just... Storm just has poor taste.
Anyway, we love you. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show real quickly, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. You know, I joined it back. I wanted to ask if they thought the votes were for real.
Yeah.
But I figured that was a question they couldn't answer.
Probably.
Today, you've got Lisa, Jim, Storm, and...
Wrap it.
Sorry, and the Nicole story got everything down to zero.
Excellent. In your face, everyone. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There you go. Thank you. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Best newsman ever, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA. Dave's in as the gatekeeper. We want to thank Ed McCarthy, Lisa Goddard, and Jim Roop, as well as Storm Large, Davey Nipples, Delana, and Magni. Thank you all for listening. See you all tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Be safe. Bye now.